Welcome to This Week Online Today podcast with your host, Ahmed Khalifa, where I'll be talking to you about the big online news that has been happening this week today to make sure that you are ahead of the game when it comes to running your online brand successfully. And at the end of the show, I will also be giving you a bonus tip of the week to help you further. So let's get straight on to the show. What's up, everyone? I am Ahmed Khalifa. Today we're going to have some fun time with some great news this week on This Week Online Today. And we'll start off with Amazon, who have opened their door to their first cashierless store in Seattle. And they've opened it on Monday, the 22nd of January. And what that is, it's a store they call Amazon Go, and there's no cashier in there. So you walk in there, you have your Amazon app installed in your phone, walk in, pick up a few things off the shelf, put it in your bag, and you walk out. And how you pay for that? Well, it will go into your Amazon account. There's no cashier. And it's just another futuristic thing that we're thinking about right now is, you know, what's next? Going to be robots serving everything now? We don't know. Obviously, there are staff in there to help you along the way, or there are chefs there to make you food, and obviously you need some people to stock the shelves. But you don't use cash. You just walk in, put in your bag, walk out. You don't need a shopping bag. You don't need a basket. You know, you just in and out. And the irony is, maybe because it's the first day, but the irony is that on the first day of release, there is a big queue. And the whole point is that this store, you shouldn't have any queues at all. You just walk in and walk out. But there was a big queue to go into Amazon Go store. Maybe just the first day, who knows, but I find that a bit ironic anyway. So what does that have to do with all of us? Well, it just shows that it doesn't matter who you are, what you do, consumers are always looking for ways to make things happen quicker, easier, but not always to save money. Now, Amazon Go, I doubt they'll be the cheapest place to go, and it's not exactly going to have everything in there, but it will be convenient to just walk in, walk out if you want something quick. And I say it's not the cheapest place to be. You know, you go to the big supermarket, and most people do their shopping there, everything under one roof, because it's very convenient. But not everything cheaper. You don't save money by doing it all under one roof. And if that's what you think you're doing, you're kind of fooling yourself, because that's how they want you to think. Bit of psychology there. So having the convenience factor is really, really big for Amazon Go and for all our supermarket. And it's something that consumers will pay for. They're happy to do that if it means they will save extra time. It's not always about prices. And obviously, Amazon Go, they own Whole Foods, so that's another reason why it wouldn't be the cheapest place to go. So I find it quite interesting. It really, really interesting that, you know, Amazon doing this. There's no rumors about whether they're going to open any more store. Having said that, Walmart are rumored to be doing the very same thing. So already they're facing competition, and already we're going to be thinking we need to have a more quicker experience when we go shopping, when we go online, when we travel, whatever it is. It seems like we just want things quicker and quicker and quicker, and people are getting involved and doing that. So I find it quite interesting. The next news I want to talk about today is about social media and how gradually more and more people are becoming concerned about its impact on your behavior and on children. And we're hearing more and more big names, you know, tech influencers and, you know, celebrities and all these people getting involved and trying to warn people the potential risk of social media. And recently, I think it was the last Friday, Tim Cook was in the UK, and even he has stated, and I quote, "I don't have a kid, but I have a nephew that I put some boundaries on. There are some things that I won't allow. I don't want him on a social network." And he's not just talking about social network and social media, but technology in general. But I think there's a lot of concerns about what it does and what kind of negative impact it can have in your life. And obviously it had positive impacts. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's so ingrained in our day-to-day lives that it's just amazing. You don't, 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, we wouldn't even think about that. But now it's like a normal part of our life. But even people who used to work at Facebook has, you know, got concerned about where it's going. And one of them was a former Facebook executive called Shamath Palihapitiya. And he told a group of people at a Stanford business school, graduate or something like that, that the social network could be destroying how society works through short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops, which is quite creepy if you think about it that way. And even Sean Parker, who's Facebook's first president, he admitted last year that he had helped Mark Zuckerberg to build a monster. And he quoted, "God only knows what it is doing to our children's brain." So there's a lot of divided opinion there. And Mark Zuckerberg hasn't really released any kind of timeline or any statement about how he's going to address any of these issues, if he is at all. Because there are problems when it comes to social networks in terms of what it can do to your social behavior, how, you know, children are becoming more addicted to it and they can't even sleep without it. And I know people who just don't really go to bed without it. They have it on their hand the entire time, so that if they wake up, it's right beside them, the phone. They just want to check quickly. And that's a bit creepy, you know. You know, the fact that people are not even able to leave their phone in another room or sleep and leave the phone outside the room, the fact that people can't do that is quite scary if you think about it. And it's also quite clever how these social media sites are luring you in and kind of drag you in and just got you hooked. It is addictive, and it applies to everyone. You know, everyone can get addicted to anything. Social media is one of them. So there's nothing really, you know, going to be addressed at this point in time. But think about how you use social media. And I'm not just talking about for social reasons or business or anything like that. Think about it, really, about what it does to you. When you go out, do you always have the phone on your table? Don't do that, by the way. Just don't do that. When you go out, do you always feel like in a group of people, you have to check your phone and keep on chatting while you are going through Facebook? You know, think about it. You know, we've all been guilty of that. I've been guilty of that. And it's something that I'm trying to teach myself more and more, to not let social media get in the way of you being social in real life. So have a think about it. Even though we've been talking about some, you know, kind of depressing news about social media, there are some brilliant stories and some funny stories about how social media can be amazing too. And this story is great. I absolutely love this one. So there's a guy called Hayden. He has been using Tinder. We all know Tinder. You swipe left or right to say yes or no to a partner that you may or not want to meet. So he swiped left to a girl named Claudia. And apparently it was an accident, and he instantly dreaded it. And I imagine when you use Tinder, you just do it without thinking. You just swipe, swipe, swipe without thinking about where you're swiping. Apparently he regretted it. And what did he do? Well, he wanted to chase down this Claudia person. And he did that by reaching out to every single Claudia that he can find in the state of Missouri. And he did that by email. And it's a really good email, because the person, Claudia, who is that Claudia, shared that letter on Twitter. And that tweet got like 30,000 retweets. And it's incredible. The first line alone is brilliant. It says, "Hello, all Claudias of Missouri State. I think I might have missed one. If so, help me out." Great story. I mean, it's just brilliant. And in the end, I don't know what happened. And he asked for help to find this Claudia. And he described her and put in the information about what she said in the description. And that tweet by this person, and the real Claudia, I'm assuming, went viral. 30,000 retweets at the time of recording and 167,000 likes. Isn't that amazing? I just find that quite funny. And it just shows the power of social media, but also what a guy would go to meet the girl of his dream, potentially. And it just shows, be careful where you're swiping. That's the moral of a story. With all the smart speakers that we're seeing nowadays, you know, you have the Alexa and the Google Home. You may have not known that Apple is going to release one, and they've talked about it in their last conference that they're going to be releasing HomePod. Now, HomePod was, you know, going to be another rival to all these smart speakers, and there was no official date until now about when it's going to release. So HomePod is going to arrive on February the 9th of 2018, and you can actually start ordering it today on the time of recording, 26th of January 2018, and that will be available to the people of US, UK and Australia. So HomePod, again, as I mentioned, is like a smart speaker, but it seems like Apple is really, really focusing on audio quality, because it's going to be focusing a lot on the kind of the music style of it, in terms of like making sure that when it kind of emits the music, it's really high quality, it's really deep and acoustic, and you can kind of also on top of it do everything that you can do with Siri, such as, you know, sending a message or play a podcast, check the news and weather and traffic news, all that stuff. And, you know, then you can kind of attach lots of accessories around it. And it seems to be a bit more advanced. I mean, they even like have like a woofer inside it, you know, to get like a get a deep, clean bass sound around it. And obviously Apple Music is going to be playing a big part in it. But like I said, the home assistant part, which is remind me to do this, remind me to do that, that's still in there. And there is even the Siri kit for the HomePod, and that will support any third-party messaging apps. So then you can ask Siri to send a message to your friends and family using apps like WhatsApp, and you can, you know, use all the note-taking reminders and apps that you have in there, like Evernote and everything, and you can set new lists in there. Maybe you can use it on Trello, who knows, you can just keep adding more and more thing in it. So it's very clever, but it's definitely the most expensive one, because Apple is going to be retailing it at $349. That's a massive difference when you think about the Alexa Echo and Dot and the Google Home Mini. It's around $39, $49 pounds, and the next one up for Alexa is, I believe, is $79, and Google Home is like $119. You know, we're taking a big jump here to $349. So it'll be interesting to see what people will make of that. Of course, there'll be plenty of Apple fanboys and girls who would go to that and will focus on Apple, and maybe they just want to make sure that it syncs very well with their iPhone and their iPad and the Siri kit that they have all, you know, attached to each other. So I find it very interesting that it's at that price. But it's just another competition in there, and it just shows that even more and more voice search is going to be another big part of your life, if not already. People saying like we should be thinking about voice search when you're optimizing your website. I don't think you should go out of your way to do that. Something to be aware of. There's nothing really immediate you can do right now apart from do your usual content creation. Make sure that it's high quality, it makes sense, it's engaging, it answers what the people are looking for. That's the minimum you should be thinking about. But then I also imagine that even though people are using Alexa and Google Home, you add the HomePod on top of it, that's another huge, you know, number of people going to be using it as well. There is evidence that there's still demand for these kind of speakers, and apparently there are 40 million smart speakers already in the US, and the majority are the Amazon Alexa. But there are also roughly 125 million households in the US. So it's not like the market is saturated, and there is a small indication that there is a demand for not just HomePod, but just the smart speakers in general. And that's the idea. All these companies, they want to make sure that their home has their smart speaker. So again, Apple is going to be the premium version. They're not going to have any low-end version of the smart speaker. So they are going to be competing against even Sonos, the speaker brand, and even Sonos has a version with Alexa as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with that as well. The final news this week is about Burger King. And I never thought I'd be talking about Burger King, because I don't really go there. But Burger King has done something very, very clever on the topic of net neutrality. If you don't know what that is, I will put a link in the show notes, because I've written about it on my site. But in a very broad sense, net neutrality is has been kind of repealed in the US. And talking about how right now we have control over the internet. We can You know, there's no kind of favoritism or priority on who gets the traffic, who gets the fastest speed, and so on and so forth. But now it's crazy. It's going to happen. It might happen actually. But now people in the US, the boards are thinking of handing that power to the internet service provider. And the danger is that they will control everything. They will control who gets the fastest internet, unless you pay for a premium price on that. They will maybe control in terms of traffic control. Maybe they will control that. Maybe they will control about whether your site should be up or not at a certain time. Who knows? But the problem is that they will have more power over the internet, over your experience. And there have been a huge number of protests. Anyway, I'm not going to blab on about it. I will put the link in the show notes. Check it out. It'd be a very good read for you, and I think it's something that you should think about as well. But Burger King has jumped on board, and they try to kind of make it more easy to understand, because the word neutrality is a bit boring. It's very, very, it just doesn't really make anyone think about, oh, that's a bad thing. It doesn't make sense. So Burger King has done a very creative, clever ad where they use a Whopper as a metaphor for net neutrality. And what they did is they stage a scene with real customers where the staff, instead of giving it immediately, they said, oh no, you will have to pay a premium price if you want a Whopper quicker. So you're going to have to pay $25 for one burger instead of $5 or whatever it was, if you want it immediately. Otherwise, you're just going to have to wait. And the moral of the story is that they're trying to make it relatable, and it's like a metaphor to make it understandable. And the funny thing is that at the end of it, people are thinking, oh, now I understand what net neutrality means, and all because of a burger. But the whole point is, it just they made it make more sense. And many people are guilty of not making sure that the language is easy to understand for other people, even in your own business or your own blog, whatever it is. You're talking to other people in a very complex language with some jargon and some abbreviations. It can really alienate people. But by making sure that you speak on the same wavelength, people will get it. And if you can't make it like that, then at least make it relatable, like Burger King has. They've been talking about net neutrality, but they didn't get technical at all. They just made it relevant to the average everyday person. So I thought that was quite interesting. I thought it was very clever. So I'll put the video in the show notes as well. Check it out. Burger King Whopper neutrality. Really, really good. And now it's time for the bonus tip of the week. This week's bonus tip of the week is something that has been kind of popped up again when I was in London over the past few days. And I've done a workshop for a group of bloggers, and it's mainly talking about the SEO plugin called Yoast on WordPress. And most people who have a WordPress website will be using Yoast, and it's a very popular tool. And the main part of it is to kind of edit your titles and your meta description, but then they have other areas that you can touch, like making sure that certain pages are blocked or not blocked, and you are, you know, making sure that it appears correctly on Google, and you're making sure that the content is relevant and the keywords is relevant and you have put it in the right place. It can do a lot of things. The workshop that I've done with the bloggers, the first thing I said about Yoast SEO is, don't stress about the green bullet point. For those who are not familiar, is that when you go to Yoast, you type in your keyword for that particular blog post, you have your content, Yoast will kind of give you a rating, like a traffic light system of green, yellow, and red. And most people, if not all, you know, all, get really stressed if they don't get that green light. The problem is that you don't need to. It's not about getting the green light every single time. If anything, that's probably, it's almost impossible. I mean, if you do that, well done. But it's not something that I do, and it's not something that you should really stress about. Yoast is there to guide you, to help you, and to assist you along the way when you are creating your content and you're optimizing it. It doesn't know more about the audience than you. It doesn't understand the blog posts that you're creating as much as you do. You know better. You just use yours to guide you along the way and follow the guideline. If you can implement it, then that's great. You know, you should put it in yourself. But if it means that you have to make a dramatic change to your entire content just to get that green bullet point, then you're kind of missing the point, because that's not what you're supposed to be doing. There are certain things, you know, in the recommendation by yours that you should do. For example, make sure you put in the keyword in your title, in your meta description, in your content. You know, that is important. Make sure you use the alt text in your images. That's also important. And then in the readability section, make sure it's not too chunky in terms of, like, you're writing big text. You know, make it smaller paragraphs. Make it, you know, easier to read. Split it all up. You know, make sure you have subheadings and it's kind of structured nicely to make it easy to read. These are the kind of things that, yes, you should do. And it will go a long way to make your content not just optimized and appear, more likely to appear in Google, but it's just easier for your audience to engage with the post. At the same time, though, as I said, don't stress about the green bullet point on yours. That's not the end goal for using that. It's there to guide you. I hope that helps you. Thank you for listening to this episode of This Week Online Today. I really do appreciate it, and I hope you found it useful. If you have enjoyed the show, please do leave a review on iTunes, as it would mean the world to me. I really would appreciate that. Thank you again. You rock. And one more thing, I just want to remind you to do your thing, because it matters. And I'll see you next week.